Thank you, friend. It's lovely. And I say it sincerely. I mean, everybody says it, don't they? But it really, truly is lovely to be back in this part of the family of God, because that's what we feel you are. You're part of our family, and we are so grateful for your prayers, for your interest, for your support, for your encouragement over the years. It's just a joy to see faces that I'm familiar with, and even some faces that I'm not familiar with. That's joyful, too. And as for all this stuff that Robin's saying about big sacrifice and this, that, and the next thing, we've had a wonderful time out there. It's been, I have to say, I was 37 years a pastor before we went to Romania, but these last nearly 10 years have been the most fulfilling of our lives and experience. They really have. It's a joy to be in that very beautiful country. It's a joy to share the gospel with people who are very often open and receptive to the things that God wants to do in and with and through them. And we stand before you this morning and declare that we are very, very privileged, because God has privileged us to see some of the fruit of the gospel. The gospel is God's power. The gospel is God's power to the saving of those who believe. And the wonderful thing is that there are a number, a goodly number of young people who have believed and are believing and whose lives are being changed. And that's a wonderful experience to see them. I do have two very, very lovely young women who are with me. Julia has been almost from the beginning our translator and our administrator in many, many aspects. There's a lot of bureaucracy in this country. There's even more, perhaps, in Romania. And to work your way through the bureaucracy is extremely difficult. Julia manages it time and time and time again, and we are so grateful to have her. So I'm going to ask Julia and Rebecca to come now and just bring a greeting and say a few words to us.
It is really good to be back with you. I don't know if you can remind me or us, remember us, but it's so wonderful to go overland and to see that different nations, different people serve the same God. So this is the greatest blessing which we can all have. And I don't have words to explain how grateful I am that God chose me to be his daughter. So I think that even if we don't find maybe our joys in this world, and we thinking that this life, it will pass one day. But the greatest joy should be that we all meet in heaven and we'll spend eternity with God. So I don't want to say too much, because Bob, I think that is going to present you much better what Romania means. And if you want to see the most blessed land of Romania, as I think that my friends would approve of me, we would love to have you there and spend some time with you. God bless you all.
Do you know, when Robin said that there's a group going out in 27th of, it just went through my mind. Wouldn't it be great if he got the shock of his life and all the church came up and said, I want to go? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Not sure that we could accommodate you all, but we'd manage somehow. But we would really love to have as many of you as possibly can go. Because when people come out to share their faith and to share the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done, inevitably they are blessed and encouraged. And it's, as Paul said, I've come to preach the gospel to you in Rome, but you are a blessing to me. And that's what you will find when you come to Romania, that the saints in Romania will bless you, and the young people who we're ministering to, they're a blessing. And so let me encourage you to boost the team and let's have a big number from Redditch. That'll be really good. Okay, now I'm going to ramble a bit this morning. Is that okay? You might think, well, what else do you ever do? But maybe some of you saw me being prayed for. And quite a number of years ago, when I was pastoring in Bradford, I developed a very, very severe chest problem. And I went to the doctor, who sent me to the hospital, x-rays taken, da 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 da. And to cut a long story short, the consultant said, "Well, lad," he was a Lancashire fellow, "well, lad," he says, "I think you've got lung cancer." I thought, "You've got a real good bedside manner." He said, "Do you smoke?" I said, "No, I've never smoked in my life." He says, "Well, 10% of people that get lung cancer, they don't smoke. So anyway, I'm going to send you for some tests." And he sent me for a biopsy. And took the biopsy, and it came back. Let me tell you, the evening before I went for this biopsy, I called for the elders of the church, and I had them anoint me with oil and pray for me, because that's what the Bible says. Any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Went for this biopsy, came back clear. This consultant wouldn't have it. No, he says, "There's someone there." So he sent me for more tests, more x-rays, body scan, more x-rays. And the whole thing was that they could not find anything wrong at all, because God had laid his hand upon my life, and he had done what needed to be done. Praise his name. Well, when I came back, Edith and I flew in on the 7th of April, and the doctor who sort of looks after us, I do have high blood pressure and stuff like that, so she helps me to keep that well under control. But she insists that I come and have blood tests and all the rest of it. Well, one of the blood tests has come back to say that I've got a bit of a problem, seemingly, in another part of the body. So I asked Robin if he would pray, and the elders of the church have anointed me with oil, and the prayer of faith, I believe, will save the sick. I'm going for a biopsy tomorrow. It's not to do with the lungs this time. It's a bit further south. And God is able, whatever, wherever, and I'm just believing in him. Okay, that's the first of the rambles. Now, I've brought a PowerPoint, which I'd like just to go through with you, because we've been there, it'll be 10 years this year, and I don't want you to think, what a marvelous guy he is, what great things he's done. I'm not a marvelous guy. I'm just an ordinary fellow with a red flesh heart, just like you. And the things that have happened are really to the glory of God. We've seen some wonderful things happening, and I want just to nail the colors to the mast and say that this mission is God's plan, it's his purpose, and it's what he's doing, and he's doing marvelous things. This is the first little picture. It's of a bunch of our young people. God took us to Romania to work principally, not exclusively, but principally among young people, because these are the up-and-coming generation, and if God can touch and change their lives, then there's a great hope for future generations, and so that's the main mission. And this is just a few of them. In the little center that we've built. As you can see, it was around Christmas time that this picture was taken. They don't always wear these funny hats and things like that. But anyway, next one. Thank you. These are some of the activities that we're involved in. On Monday night, we have a young disciples class, and we get about 40 young people coming from various villages in our area. And we have a group who come from Cluj. They're students, and they're led by a guy called Patrika, who's a spirit-filled, anointed young man, and some of his friends. And they come along and they teach our young people the things of God. They go through the Bible and they teach them the principles of the kingdom of heaven, because these principles are the principles to live by. You base and live your life in these principles, you will have a good life. Not the easiest of lives, but a good life. And so Monday's Young Disciples class. Tuesday, we built a second center. It was opened in March this year. And it's for a large Roma community. And we love these people. But I have to tell you quite honestly, they're not the easiest to work with. We have a children's meeting on a Tuesday night in this new center. And we have an average of about 40 young people. And we have a great time. Yuli is our translator. We have a number of people working there just now. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, all-age program. That's in our center in Shardu, our village. That's going well. It's a good program. Friday, we have a teens club. That is a sort of a free evening. They just come and they mix and they mingle. and they have fellowship with one another. They play pool, they play table tennis, they play bar football, they play, what's the other one? Air hockey, and various other things too. Football outside on the largest green that we have. We also have for these young people holiday clubs during the summer months, and that's a great thing. You see, it's a body ministry, this. It's not just what we're doing. Groups come across and they share their experience, they share their love, they share their they participate among, and that's been a marvelous what's the word I'm looking for? It's been a marvelous experience for the young people, and generally too for the groups that come as well. We have various other activities that I can't remember what I was meant to say about that, so we'll move on to the next one. It's age and condition, you know. right. Now, we built the house first. That's the house on the right-hand side. We built that with a kind of an open plan downstairs so that we could accommodate work among children. And we stayed in this house for about 3-4 years. But when we were getting 60-plus children in, it became a little bit tight and uncomfortable. So we built a second center, which is the one just behind there, which is a hall with some accommodation upstairs, and to the right, that little bit sticking out, is an extension. And so we have things like crafts in the extension, we have the programs in the main hall, and we have approximately 200 young people coming through the hall each week with the various programs. The one in the bottom, which is still unpainted, is the new center. It's a little bit bigger than the first center, and this is mainly for the Roma community. There's a community of over 400 people there, and they have no church of their own. They have no nothing that they can call their own, so we've built this place so that we can work there. Now, it's very, very difficult working there and among them, and sometimes, as I'll tell you a bit later on, it's possible to get a bit discouraged because of the things that happen. Since we've started working there, we've had 3 break-ins in the house, we've had 2 break-ins in the center, our vehicles have been vandalized and damaged, and it can be discouraging because we know that the source is this Roma community. Nevertheless, God gave Paul a wonderful promise. He said of the people in Corinth, when Paul went to Corinth, "I have many people in this city." And I believe that God has said to us, "I have many people in this community." So we're standing in God's promise, and we know that although it has a reputation for lawlessness and violence, and we've experienced a bit of both, we know that God is able to change hearts and minds and bring about miraculous change in lives. And that's what we are believing for in this community in St. Paul. There is, among a good number of the Roma people, a heresy abroad. It's called Jesus only, and it really is, it's often also called modalism, that God has different modes. Sometimes he's the Father, sometimes he's the Son. Don't really believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit, and it's not really a very healthy doctrine. So we're calling this center the Holy Trinity Center, just to assure them that our God is one God in 3 persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is that a good idea, do you think? I think it's a brilliant idea. Next slide. Okay. Now then, this is quite exciting, really, apart from the top left. Liz, in the middle there, came and joined us in October of last year. She is very highly qualified. She is a teacher. She's got degrees in childcare management and all the rest of it, and she's eminently suited to work in our center. It was her son who started it off with the shoebox. That's another long story. If you don't know about it, somebody will tell you. But it was her son that started it, and she was out in Romania with Joshua, her son, and my youngest son, who was with her, a youth leader in the church that we pastored. She was out there before we were. So really, Liz was the part of the founding of this mission. And she's eventually come out to work there permanently. She sold her house She has virtually, she's lost and left everything in order that she might work in Romania. She's doing great things. She's been a youth leader in the Bradford Church for many, many years, so she's well used to working among young people, and she's doing great things. She's already established quite a number of new projects, and she has much more to bring. So pray for Liz, and Liz Face, her name is. A little story about Liz. Her maiden name was Grief. It's a sort of a German connection, Liz Greif. And she looked forward to getting married so that she could change her name. And she married a guy called Peter Face. So, anyway. And, of course, Julia, who I cannot speak highly enough of. Julia has been a blessing to Edith and I throughout the years and still continues to be. This bottom picture is quite exciting, because a number of the young people who were children when we first went have committed their lives to Jesus Christ, and now they are growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. And they're actually becoming leaders of this mission in their own right. They're taking some of the programs, they're leading Sunday nights sometimes, they're leading Wednesday nights quite often, they're involved with the Roma community, and they are a blessing. And we are grateful for them, and we're grateful to God for what he's doing in their lives. That's encouraging, don't you think? Yes, praise God. Next. this is some of the transport. We have the Mercedes minibus, which has been a good old standby. We have the transporter, which was given us recently. We haven't managed yet to register that in Romania, because it's quite expensive to register a biggish engine. It's a 2.4 engine, so we're really putting the money in for that, and then we have this Land Rover as well. So that's the... We bring the children, we serve a zone of 6 villages, and we bring the children from the various villages to the Shardu Centre, and the minibus and the Land Rover are very, very necessary. And the thing about the transporter is, because it's only got 9 seats, some of our older young leaders will be able to drive that and help us with the transport. So that's the transport. It's we use these vehicles heavily every week. Thank you. Right. Yeah. Now, I spoke about the discipleship class on Monday evenings. These are some of the young folk that are involved in it. Is there another picture of Bogdan and Gabby and other videos? Right. These guys are some of the guys that come from the city of Cluj, quite mature young Christians who come along, and they share with us in this mission and ministry. And 3 of the guys on that picture went with them to the Republic of Moldova to mission. So they're reaching out in Jesus' name to other countries, bringing the gospel that has changed their lives to people who they believe will be touched by God. So that's good news, isn't it? The discipleship class, as I mentioned, about 40 attend. We have a girls' group, and as the words say, and you can probably read them, we have an older fellas' group and a younger. Okay, moving on. Ah, yes, the Roma children, like I say, hard work, but God loves these children absolutely, and we really do want to see change brought about in their lives. Pray for the Roma community and this new ministry. Thank you. Wednesday All Age Group. Kind of things that we do. Thank you. If you have any questions, you can always ask me afterwards. Moving on. Teens Club. I don't know what's up there, but the Teens Club is, just as I said, a free evening, and the young people just come along and share. We sometimes bring different professions in to talk to them, to enlarge their horizons so that they can set goals for themselves. We've had a vet. He was immensely interesting. The questions lasted for over half an hour. We've had a nurse, one of the nurses in the village. We've had who have we had? We had the mayor of our community
He was dreadful. He's not a brilliant public speaker, although he's a lovely man and he supported us all the way through. But he didn't make a big impact on the young folks. So not many of them maybe will become politicians, we think. But we had the policeman, one of the local policemen along, who was a youngish guy and very, very popular. And the kids were absolutely fascinated by his gun. So we do that occasionally on a Friday evenings just to break the thing up a little bit. We do, of course, have Christians in from time to time to give a little bit of their life experience. So we try to vary the programs as much as possible to make them interesting. Are we stuck here? Is it... This is the trouble with electronics, isn't it? If you're relying on them, they can let you down. We were in Rugby recently, and we got stuck, and Barry said, just preach, Bob, just preach. So we might just turn to preach. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. I'm bringing this word wherever I go because it's a word that God gave me and it encourages me immensely. The words of Jesus. John 7, 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. There is a man who is a very courageous man with an absolutely brilliant mind by the name of Stephen Hawking. He's brought out a book recently which is called The Theory of Everything. Now, brilliant though he is, courageous though he is, he's not right in everything. But we have a book. And in this book are contained the facts of everything. And the facts of everything are found throughout the scripture. It tells us what our natural condition was. It tells us what our natural what can take place in us and with us and through us. Let me just remind you of how we were before we became Christians. Paul says this to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 2 and from verse 1. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead to God. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. Well, everybody follows the ways of the world. What's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with it. The ways of the world are the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You're following the ways of Satan. These are facts. Spiritual facts. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's where we all were. We followed the ways of the world, the ways of Satan. That's the condition that we were in by nature. But then in verse 4, there's a wonderful divine but. But. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. By grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Praise God for the but, that he had mercy on us. That he looked upon us with love and with mercy, that he gave his only begotten Son, and we, believing in him, were transformed and transferred. We're not now just any longer in this world. We are, this is incredible, we are right now seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We're in another dimension. You might be sitting in this school hall, and you might be living in whatever your address is in Greenwich, but in reality, you are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. You're in a far, far higher, greater, more powerful, more wonderful dimension. And the day will come, as Julia mentioned when she was talking, when we fully realize the wonder of this dimension, the privileges that belong to us in Jesus Christ. But we're here right now, in the here and now. God wants to be doing something in us that that is incredibly wonderful. Did you notice the word in verse, where is it? I can't remember the verse. He might show, that he might show, it's verse 7. In the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace to us in Christ Jesus. This new life given to us in Jesus Christ, it is to be seen. It's to be observed. It's to be looked upon by those who are still in darkness, those who know nothing of Jesus Christ. It's to be seen. Your lives are to be looked upon, and they should be showing great, great differences. Now, if you compare these verses to the words of Jesus that we find in John 7, 37 to 39, those who are in Christ, who truly believe in him, there's going to be an effect. Are you a believer in Jesus? Okay, the closer you come to him, the greater the effect that he will have on your life and through your life. There's going to be an effect, a divine difference, and there's going to be a through flow of God the Holy Spirit, of life and power. You are going to be influential, and that's what God wants you to be. He wants you to know more of this beyond and above realm, the heavenly realms, so that he can work in you and with you and by his Holy Spirit through your life. Now, I don't care where you live, what your age, what your educational ability or otherwise, through your life, because God the Holy Spirit lives within you, there's going to be a difference taking place that is powerful and wonderful. It's because it's divine. Because it's divine. I got to be thinking some while ago of some of the people who influenced me when I was a youngster. People through whose lives flowed rivers of living water. People who made an impact on me. And they were so different. There was an elder, when I was in my teens, long time ago, there was I was brought up in a lovely Christian community in Dundee. That's in the Promised Land, if you didn't know. And it was a great Christian, it was a good Christian community, and there were a number of people who worshipped there, quite a number of people, similar to size to this church. And there were two people in particular who were spinsters. They were single ladies. They lived in the same house. They worked. They were quite clever. They worked in I don't know what, but they worked in commerce. But you know, when they prayed, they touched heaven. And when they prayed, heaven touched us. There was something about them. Now, I sent away when I was in my teens for a Bible study correspondence course, and when I got it, I thought, goodness me, it was a bit beyond me. So I went up to them and said, do you think you could help me with this course? And they said, we'd be delighted to. And so on a Friday evening for nearly 4 years, I went up to their house, and we studied the Word of God, and we prayed, and we read and discussed the lives of many, many of the Christian saints. And you know, a friend of mine looked at them once and he said, oh, look at these old career chicks. But there was so much more than met the human eye. From their lives flowed rivers of living water. In the same church, there was another couple, totally and utterly different, David and Margaret. Now, they were just one step up from beggars. They were dirt poor. They lived in a hovel. And they were really, really very not far off being down and out. And yet they loved Jesus Christ. And they were faithful in the meetings. They were there at virtually every meeting. Now, David had a speech impediment. He couldn't speak very clearly, and you had to listen awfully careful before you understood him. But sometimes on a Tuesday night in the prayer meeting, when the Holy Spirit anointed him, he would get up and he would worship God in a language that wasn't his own. And the flow of this language was pure and powerful. I didn't understand what he was saying. Paul speaks about speaking the gifts, language that the Holy Spirit gives is either of the tongues of men or angels. So I don't know if it was angelic or human, but it was anointed. And he touched me time and time again, as did their love and their care. They were so solicitous. How are you doing? How are things with you? All the rest of it. They, for all that they were poor and next door to beggars, love of God flowed through them. From their lives flowed rivers of living water. It doesn't matter your status, your educational ability, your wealth, or anything else. If God calls you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then from your life will flow rivers of living water. And the closer you get to him, the stronger will be that flow. Live close to Jesus. If you want to be influential, if you want to be powerful in the kingdom of God, start your day by saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, anoint me, use me today. And then go out into that day in the expectation that God will honor that prayer because he's called you. You're a believer in Jesus. Therefore, from your life will flow rivers of living water. It's not an option. It's a promise to every single being. Now, many, many people have so much to give on a merely human level. There are very high intellectuals. There are people who are very wealthy who give financially. There are people who do lots and lots of different things. But these are things that are passing. The things that come from God, the things that are divine, are eternal. And if you want to make an eternal difference in a person's life, live close to Jesus Christ. Robin was saying, have faith, read the word, seek his faith, seek to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit, and from your life will flow rivers of living water. There are many, many other people who influenced me. I love the story, and I'll just tell you this, and then I'll finish, because I think I've gone on long enough, but I love the story of one of the heroines of faith, my heroines of the faith. A woman called Jackie Pullinger. How many have heard of Jackie Pullinger? Yeah, lots of you. Jackie Pullinger was a remarkable young woman inasmuch as God was calling her to serve him. She didn't know where and she didn't know how, but she got on a boat that was sailing, a tramp steamer that was sailing around different ports of the world. And every time it docked, she said, Lord, is this where I get off? No. Is this where I get off? No. Is this where I get off? No. And eventually, the ship docked in Hong Kong. Is this where I get off? Yes. And God led her into one of the most despicable and desperate places on the face of the earth, into what was called the Walled City in Hong Kong. Now, this is a place wherein the police wouldn't even go. It was filled with the worst type of criminals. It was filled with drug addicts, drug dealers, pimps, prostitutes, all sorts of people who had made an absolute shipwreck, a total wreck and mess of their lives, many of them dying because of their lifestyles. That's where God led this almost middle-class young English woman. And she started to minister there. But not much happened in the first few months. She witnessed to people, nothing much happened. She prayed for people, nothing much happened. Then she met some, what she described as loud Americans. Are there any other type? Anyway. any Americans here? Anyway, these were godly people. And they said, Jackie, do you have the gift of tongues? And she said, yeah. And they said, do you use this gift? And she said, nah, not really. And they said, well, you should! Because, you see, just let me say, every single gift of God, if it's a gift of God, has a purpose. Powerful, wonderful purpose. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries to God. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So she started praying in the Spirit. She said, half an hour a day. And it was hard work. Hard work. But she said the difference was that after a few weeks, when I prayed for people, they were healed. When I witnessed to people, they were saved. Because God had got into my praying. The Spirit, Paul says in Romans 14, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and I can't remember the verse, but you'll find it if you read through the whole of Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but he who knows the mind of God helps us, directs us in our prayer. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't pray with the intelligence that God has given us. Of course it doesn't. But it does mean that when we reach an impasse, which we often do, because who can know the mind of God? The Holy Spirit helps us and directs us in our praying. And I would urge you to take the advice of Jackie Pullinger and to seek to pray in the Spirit, maybe less than half an hour a day, but regularly, so that you can draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up in the things of the Spirit, to enable you and from your life to have a through flow of rivers of living water. Now, I could go on, I could waffle on for a lot longer, but I won't. I just want to remind you that you are, Jesus said, the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He also said that those who believe in me, from their inmost being, will flow rivers of living water. You have been transferred to a new dimension, the heavenly realms. Learn more about that. Learn more about the dimension which is a divine dimension, a spiritual dimension. Use the resources that God gives you so that from your life, more and more and more will flow. Not trickle, not drip, flow. Rivers of living water. God bless you.